Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, the Tetris workload battle, part 2 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, how much can I delegate? How can I overcome resistance to delegation? And do I have an obligation to delegate?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We are so excited to be announcing our new organizational offering, our Effective Executive Team Workshop. It's a trinity for executives, the three elements on which executive teams need to position their organizations for the future: strategy, operations, and people. Mark Horstman, our co-founder, will work with your leadership team for a full-day workshop. And if your team would like help following through on and implementing what's discussed, Mark will coach your team afterward to support your implementation. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com to get more information. Focus your leadership team on what the most important things are to drive your organization's results. That takes us then to something to do to help your directs is encourage task time compression. The first thing that we're going to do is learn how to do our jobs faster over time. If we don't, as we get more work, we'll be buried and burned out and start failing systemically at our roles. In the Tetris workload battle analogy, we've got to rearrange our work and figure out what we're doing that we may not need to be doing any longer.
Mm-hmm. If you're a manager, you have three options, right? You could automate, eliminate, or delegate. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's not maybe full automation. Maybe you can't send it to AI. However, there is a form of automation light, I suppose I think of it as, which is you constantly trying to figure out how you can save time on your work. I encourage you to measure how long some of your tasks take and then try different ways to shorten that time span. You're the one doing the work, so we assume you know better how to do this than we would. That said, you can tell your directs, if you need help, schedule time with me and we'll go over your workload and perhaps I can make some suggestions. Definitely, I have found that if you ask your directs to go through their workload with you and the amount of time they spend on each a week, you will discover there are some things that they are spending so much time on and it will baffle you.
And maybe not even the task, Kate, in my experience. Sometimes it's, we knew they were doing that task, but the quality standard which they're applying to the fulfillment of that task is way, 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 way more accurate than we ever wanted or cared about. And that's the problem, right? We're aware of that task. We know it's being done, but they're doing it to an overkill degree. And we're like, oh, dude, I just need like a draft one.
Yeah.
And so, and you'll learn those kinds of things.
Yeah. If you've never taken stock of what tasks you do and how long they take, now is the time. And ask it of your directs as well. You can just keep a time log and see what you can do to compress your existing workload into less time. Even myself, who I find I calendar most of my work by subject, I suppose is the way to describe it. So there are blocks in my calendar of do this today. For example, today I had in my calendar to write newsletters. And I will say I had an hour in there and sometimes it does take an hour, but today it didn't, which was great. And you need to know what you're doing every week. I'm baffled by how often people don't. And you need to know how much time all those things takes. And okay, some of the people listening will say, it can't be done. I can't go any faster. And not only is that very unlikely to be true, it's not an option.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Right? Self-imposed deadlines can help enormously. Set a deadline then that on your work, on this part of your day, that's shorter than what you might normally allot. Focus hard. Try to beat your best time. Put your phone on Do Not Disturb. More work is coming. Let's be able to meet it without groaning about the deluge by seeing if we can engage in some compression here. And it's interesting. At some point in my career, I started doing this kind of naturally before I became a manager, I think. I find too, sometimes I am frustrated with tasking I assumed would be faster. I assume that other people, they think it'll take longer. And so they're not frustrated when it takes a long time. But for example, I was working on something this weekend, like for a friend, and really thought, oh, I could get that done in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Was very frustrated when it took like 8.
Ooh, ow.
To be fair, it's like it was a lack of crafting supplies that I did not have a paper guillotine, which was.
Oh, yes.
100%.
Many of us haven't one of those at our house.
I actually borrowed someone's. My point is, I am constantly frustrated by how much time things take. And I'm not sure that many people feel that way.
I agree. But I think the analogy I use for the shrinking of time, Kate, is, isn't it funny how much things we can all get done just before vacation? I mean, what I'm saying is we're all capable of shrinking our time. We all do it just before we leave on vacation. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody in your organization, you yourself may have even said, oh my gosh, I got so much done these last 3 days before vacation. And that's why. It's because you only had 3 days. You shrunk the amount of time that was available for those tasks, and you burned through those tasks. And it's that same concept. We're all capable, usually, of burning through things more quickly, but there's not the same urgency as there is before vacation. So applying that urgency increases the likelihood that things will get done more quickly.
Yes, you can do it.
You can do it. Exactly.
So that's our automate. Automate light.
Exactly. Automate light. Now, another thing, another one of the options that you could apply to the situation is encouraging delegation to the floor. Something else that you can do is, I mean, folks, just simply not do some of the things that you do now, which sounds incredibly risky to some people, but is not really that risky. Take a look at what you do and make a decision about what is least valuable versus what is most valuable. And then those things are that are the least valuable, just don't do it. We have previous guidance on this for both managers and for individual contributors. Licensees, you can find links to that guidance, those previous podcasts about delegation to the floor, the activity, at the bottom of this set of show notes.
I have to say, this is one of the places where I start to worry that my brain works fundamentally different from other people's. My favorite thing in the whole wide world is one less thing to do. How is it that people don't do this all the time? Delegation to the floor. Like, I'm just not going to do this thing. Because genuinely, my favorite thing in the whole wide world is one less thing to do. It baffles me.
You know, Kate, I really think this comes from just having talked to managers and professionals and individual contributors for so long as we have. I really think this comes from not understanding, not living priorities. If you're not really sure what your most important thing is versus your least important thing, I think it's a little terrifying to live in this world of, well, I don't know what's more important. I just guess I have to feel obligated to do everything. Now, in a world like yours, I would suggest like ours, we're very clear about what is the most important thing and what is the least important thing. So crossing something off the list is freeing. It's a breath of fresh air. It's like, boom, one last thing. But if you don't know priorities, if you're not sure you fully understand what is expected of you, then it's kind of panic-inducing to think, what if I stop doing something? I get in trouble for it. Because that's always the thought, right? It's,
yeah, maybe.
If I delegate something, I could get in trouble for it.
It's interesting because what I would ascribe it to is having too much to do all the time. If you have too much to do all the time, your favorite thing to do is one less thing. I don't have time to do all the things, which is, again, why we're talking y'all about delegating, because if your directs have a lot of stuff to do, it will force them to quit doing the things that are not valuable anymore.
Exactly.
And that's, I think, where I come at it from. I think I make up chores for myself in my real life, not at work, but in my real life, I make up chores for myself. And then if I can say, oh, we don't have to do that thing, that one less thing, it's amazing because I have time for books or whatever it is that I'm doing. But And to your point, I think you're right. I do think people feel it's risky. It isn't. But it does have some risk.
Yeah, like, it's not risk-free, right?
Right. But I think the fear is outsized compared to the actual risk. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, if you don't do it, you're choosing worse risks. Like, you're putting yourself in a worse position. You may simply... this one doesn't sound that much worse, but you may simply reach a wall or a place where you don't believe you can do any more, which puts your role at risk. Mm-hmm. Because we've already established that workload will continue to fall into our rectangle space,
yep,
our Tetris space from above. As well, you're in danger of getting all of your work done and spending less time on your most important deliverables.
Yeah, I'll make them all fit, but you're not spending enough time on the big things, right?
Right, in order to do stuff that nobody cares about.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Folks, we have a saying for executives. There's too much work to do, so just decide what you're willing to get in trouble for. That's the thing. Would you rather get in trouble for not doing something that wasn't that important? Or would you rather get in trouble for missing on the biggest, most important thing you have to deliver to this organization each and every day? Your job isn't to not get in trouble. It's just to make decisions about what's worth the risk and what's not worth the risk. Your job is to prioritize your own work. And executives can generally get away with this on their own at lower levels. Managers, like we're talking about here today, have to help their directs so that the organization, someone above you, doesn't punish individual contributors for failure to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So managers, right, you're
providing cover.
Yeah, you're providing cover, exactly. You've got to be a little bit more involved in the helping of making decisions about what they can work or what they can do and stop doing.
To a certain extent, just helping them understand that it's possible.
Yeah.
Because exactly. This is a lesson that people should learn earlier in their careers that, hey, there's going to be some stuff that doesn't get done. And mm-hmm. if you can help your directs understand that that's normal, their ability to move into the next level and especially into executive life will be really a lot higher.
Absolutely.
And in order to provide that coverage, we need to engage in communication. We should really be talking regularly, frequently, about what you are working on and what you're not working on, what is getting done, what isn't getting done. Tell your directs, I encourage you to talk to me every week in our one-on-ones about your changing priorities. Tell your directs, tell me what people are handing to you, because the amount of stuff people ask of your directs, and as you move up the organization, you will reach a point where people ask you for less, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have reached a point, yeah, right, where there's nobody to ask us for stuff. We're making it up. And what that leads to is forgetting that the people who work for you are constantly being inundated by requests.
Yeah.
They're constantly being asked, hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do this? And they need to share that with you, mm-hmm, that, you know, this, I got these six requests this week and it cut into my workload on these items. Tell your directs that you'll try to agree whenever you feel that they're doing well with their workload. If you disagree, talk to them about it. Figure out a work plan that you and your directs can live with. And tell your directs, hey, don't just drop a bunch of work without communicating it.
Yeah.
Let me know. Please tell me. I'll do everything I can to defend your position and support you. And that's most easily done if somebody comes to me and says, hey, so-and-so dropped a bunch of work, didn't do all this stuff. You say, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. They asked me first.
So, yeah, makes it so much easier. Tell your directs, now is the time for you to learn prioritization and new, faster ways of working. And don't assume that faster is somehow related to lower quality.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, to Sarah's earlier point, lower quality is fine for the organization, even if not everyone who works, yeah, for us or yourself loves that. But ask your directs to keep talking about their priorities so that together you can figure out new ways of getting all the work done or put differently, make sure you and your director are on the same page about what work we believe isn't as valuable and isn't going to get done at all, maybe, because that's what we're doing when we delegate to the floor. There's always waste. There's always TPS reports. And we don't have to spend time on those.
Yeah, exactly.
We are going to get requests that are so low level and so inane. And some of that is just people getting excited about a certain thing that actually won't get us anywhere. We want to encourage you to tell your directs that all of this can be accomplished if they're willing to communicate with you. I would even be comfortable with my direct over-communicating to me in this area.
Oh, yeah.
Asking me a couple times a week, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this?
Yeah.
Until we get to a place where they feel more comfortable with it. Because there are things that sometimes it's hard to tell from a certain level in the organization are valuable or not.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. There's some stuff sometimes where you don't know who's looking at that report.
Yeah.
And it goes both ways. Sometimes you don't know that, for example, somebody on the board is looking at that report.
Right.
And sometimes what you don't know is that nobody is looking at it.
Exactly.
And nobody's looked at it for a really long time. Like a long time. We're offering the whole suite of manager tools training in January in two easy-to-get-to cities. We'll be in Seattle, January 21st and 22nd, and then Austin, January 28th through 30th. In Seattle, we're offering the EMC and ECC, and in Austin, Mark will be presenting all three events, including our first quarter hiring training. We only offer this training once a quarter, and this quarter, it will be in Austin. Come see us, or come see Mark. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Now, at this point, we've taught them the game. So now we need to make sure that as managers, we reward the people on our team who successfully play the game. You cannot resist the Tetris workload battle. It is real. It is always happening everywhere in every organization. Tell your folks, if you dig your heels in, and resist the new work because you like doing things your way or the old way or the way you learned it, that they will not grow. And if your directs don't grow, their responsibilities and chances for more pay and rewards won't grow either. Say to them, it might be hard to hear this, but when you think about it, we all know more work is coming. And we can either complain about it or we can respond smartly to those requests.
And sometimes there are times when the amount of work coming does feel worth complaining about. And I'm willing to listen to that occasionally. Hey, I'm underwater this week. Got it. The constant conversation about it would make it appear as though you don't understand that this is the status quo.
Yeah.
When directs are constantly saying, oh my gosh, there's so much to do. It's like, I think perhaps you've misunderstood the natural state.
Yes, exactly. I think perhaps you don't understand it. And again, remember, folks, when you were an individual contributor, you didn't either. So
yeah,
it makes perfect sense that they have no idea.
Yeah.
And for those directs of yours who ultimately do embrace this Tetris battle, kudos to them. All right, tell your folks to figure out what they're going to do differently and more quickly. Have them create the list for you. We're not suggesting that each and every one of you needs to go down there and tell them what all of those things are. Have them think about it. Have them figure it out.
They can choose what to compress.
Exactly. They can choose or make suggestions at least, right? You can work on it together. There'll be more work and it's always coming. Tell your people to figure out how to get their existing work done in less time and what they can safely no longer do. Tell them this activity will help them grow. A lot of directs want to take on that next role. A lot of directs want to see that there's upward mobility within organizations. And if they do the right things, they could move up to one of those other different roles. And if they engage in these activities, they will grow. And if they grow, you will reward them for it. If they win the game, if you will, the Tetris game, You'll ask them to do the things that you do, which will prepare them for even more responsibility, more compensation, and more job security within the organization. The reward is
the next role.
Yeah, the reward is you get to be what you want to be when you grow up. That's the reward, which is a pretty good reward.
Agreed. When people are new to professional upward mobility, their lack of understanding about how to achieve it causes them to believe that delegation is not part of the process.
Yeah.
And it is.
And it is. Exactly.
So we are going to help our directs understand that such that they then can be positive about delegation in order to engage with it in a way that will benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Tetris workload battle is real. It has always been the historical response of so many to complain, to resist, to gripe, doesn't work. And frankly, causes for more negativity in the workplace about the normal things that are happening.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's all normal.
It's like shouting at the rain.
Right.
Because yeah. Companies are built this way for a reason. We're not in charge of that fact. And If we think about it as a game, we can win this game by playing intelligently.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love what you just said. We're not in charge of that fact. You're totally right. We're not. It exists. So we can be mad about it if we want. But it doesn't change reality. So you might as well embrace reality and go with it. Figure out how to win it. Because unfortunately, a lot of people around you don't understand that this is the way it's done.
Which actually means it's not that hard to be the best person in the game.
Exactly.
Because most people are just complaining about the game.
Right.
Hoping it'll go away.
Hoping it'll go away. And it's not going away. It's really, really not.
As opposed to saying, oh, this is a game and I could just play.
Right. If I do this, 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 and this, I win. And that's exactly it. Now you win.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
That's it this week, y'all. We'll be back after the holiday break with some new topics. Bye, y'all.
Bye, Kate.